You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What it is, we do with the Fresh Take, Joshua, Adam, William, Arbuthnot. We are here to break down the Donovan Mitchell trade. Man, the NBA doesn't stop, does it? It's in some ways, it kind of finally did. In many ways, this offseason, right? We had been waiting for the ball to kind of pick up, as I talked about in the Pat Bev pod, when that finally happened. Now we have our big first superstar trade with Donovan Mitchell going. So that's kind of the one of the last pieces to drop now. I think everyone now may be waiting for that Laker trade with Buddy Hield and everything. But yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll go through everything with them and their depth chart and how everything works for them. But they are looking pretty good right now with everything that they have. They've really built themselves up into a quality contender. So let's kind of break down the trade, shall we? Cleveland descending Lauri Markkanen, Colin Sexton, and OG Abari, who was a standout from Kansas that they ended up getting. And Donovan Mitchell's going to the Cavs. And Cleveland is hitting a unprotected 25, 27, and 29, and swaps in 26 and 28. Important to know here that they did not trade their 2024 first-round pick or their 2023 first-round pick. So the Cavs will still be picking their own pick this year. As far as I know that they have that, I believe they do. And then the 2024 pick is interesting because that's when one Bronny James can enter the draft. And that's when LeBron will be said free agent. So that's very interesting. I believe Donovan might not be on the team at that point because he would be a free agent. So that's something to keep an eye on. We'll get to that in a second where the Donovan Mitchell side of all this kind of contains and plays out in the grander scheme of things this year. But so let's talk about it for the Cavaliers side of things, right? So Colin Sexton, he's been one of the bigger free agents remaining. He was a restricted free agent, hadn't really signed a deal, had that terrible injury at the end of the year last year, and you know, started off the season great scorer with the Cavs and Darius Garland. Defense in the backcourt had been a concern, and I sent a tweet out earlier talking about how it had been a concern, but here's the thing, too. You have that front court with Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, and Isaac Okoro. So the front court isn't an issue. So if they do get beat, that front court is going to stop them. I still do worry, though, about the one-on-one situation with the guards that you're going to be dealing with that backcourt with Garland and Mitchell. It's scary good. Like, this Cavs depth chart now is, it's fantastic the way that it lines up. And the depth on it, you have Caris LeVert off the bench, Robin Lopez off the bench, Kevin Love off the bench. If you're looking at that Cavaliers team right now, you still have Tier 1 with the Celtics and the Bucks, and then I go down to probably Tier 2, and they're there with Philly. And then there's a drop down there. We have the Heat and the Raptors and the Bulls and wherever that goes. But this is the Cavs team that really, you know, struck down the stretch. They had two All-Stars last year with Jared Allen and Darius Garland, Evan Mobley. Times of pushing. You can't get much more of a solid lineup than what they have, especially with the front court. Arguably one of the best front courts and one of the best back courts. And then just a solid guy at the wing spot there at the three with Isaac Okoro, who I predict is going to take a bigger jump this year for Isaac Okoro. And he's a part of the trade that not a lot of people have talked about. He had 8.8 points per game last year, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, but just defensively, he's one of the best in the league. I can see that points per game maybe now not jumping up because you would figure the main side of the scoring will be on Garland and be on Mitchell. I believe they brought back, if I'm not mistaken, they brought back Rubio as well. So another nice depth piece there for the Cavaliers that they have there. So they continue, and having Caris LeVert off the bench, like, how nice is that to have Caris LeVert off the bench? That is a very nice peach if you're the Cavaliers. So they definitely set themselves up to another level now for where they can score. and how they can go. I mean, the Bucks and the Celtics, no doubt, that's the top, that's the pinnacle of the Eastern Conference right now. But the Cavs, good for them. Kobe Altman, LeBron leaves 4 years ago and didn't leave that team with much. He left him with Colin Sexton. And now they turn Colin Sexton into one of the top 25 players in the league in Donovan Mitchell, who's still on a decently player-friendly contract. We'll get into that in a bit for what he does. And Mitchell is a player that has had playoff success, went to a conference final just a year ago, was on a first-place team just a year ago. We know he has the ability to get to the basket, to score great. And now the pressure's really off him, too. He does not need to be the main scorer. Like, the last few years in Utah, really, even when he was back at Louisville, he had to be the main facilitator as far as scoring. So now you go to a Cleveland team where you don't need to be that, because Darius Garland can do that. Mobley can score time to time. Caris LeVert can come off the bench and do that as well. He'll still be a 25-point game per game scorer, but he does not have that pressure now of, we need you to be the guy. And maybe there wasn't that pressure on Mitchell for that, but that's gone now. He doesn't need to be that guy that scores the bucket at the end of the game. That can be Garland. Maybe it can be LeVert. Maybe it's Kevin Love in one random game. Probably you don't want to do that if you're the Cavs, but yeah. Evan Mobley, he's only going to get better. I still think it's crazy that they got Evan Mobley where he did. It was an absolute steal for them. The point is, for this Cavalier team, it's a really smart trade for them, considering, too, and we'll get to the Knicks side of everything here, but you look at really what they gave up. They gave up Colin Sexton, a guy that the way things were lining up for Colin Sexton, he probably was going to be a restricted free agent. You know, we're September 1st right now as this trade goes through and as we're recording. At this point, you didn't think that they were going to give him this big contract. He's coming off, I believe, an ACL injury. So they probably were just going to sign him to a one-year deal, and then next year he's unrestricted. And maybe that's still what Utah is going to do. We'll see. So as great as Sexton is, and he's a good player when he's healthy, but he's coming off an ACL surgery, so he'll see how he responds off of that. And then you look at Lauri Markkanen, who I'm still a fan of Lauri Markkanen, but let's be honest, I think he started the season strong for the Cavs, but then he took a dip down. And so you just lose him, more minutes for a veteran like Kevin Love. And if you wanted to replace a Lauri Markkanen, trust me, there is guys on the market right now that you can bring back. Tristan Thompson, you know, can shoot the three like Lauri, but if you just wanted to find someone at the two to kind of fill those minutes, Tristan Thompson's available, LMA's available, you can go get Dwight Howard if you wanted to, Blake Griffin's available, Carmelo Anthony's available. There is guys available right now at that two spot. They will have no problem filling that in. And then the rookie from Kansas, I he's a really good player, obviously just came off a national championship, but how many minutes was he going to get in this Cavs team, right? Maybe would have gone up, because maybe it would have taken Sexton some time to come back and maybe wouldn't get some minutes. But I think this team's now looking at a different position of where they are, so you're willing to trade off that lottery pick and kind of move forward with where your team is. So he could be a nice little addition for Danny Ainge there. I think it is a nice addition for Danny Ainge, but you're willing to give that. Compared to, you know, what the Knicks were trying to do, you know, the one rumored trade from the Knicks, and I don't want to get too into it just yet, but with RJ and Mitchell Robinson, it seemed like the Knicks, there was a better offer out there. So if you're the Cavs, I think you're pretty happy with this. I mean, the picks, we'll see where they go. Right, but I think the good thing for you is, and I'm pretty sure that they have their 2023 pick. So you have your 2023 pick, you have your 2024 pick. So you still have potentially 2 years to either trade or use those draft picks to gain other assets. And then you don't have to do anything till later down the road here with a team that's relatively young, with Darius Garland, with Evan Mobley, with Jared Allen, and with Isaac Okoro. Just those four alone. And I'm saying this just in a situation of, let's say Mitchell dips and he leaves the roster, you still have a team that is in a good position. And I think you have enough to build, you know, with that young core there to make Donovan want to stay in Cleveland. It's been a team that's won a championship in the past. It's a great sports city, as we've seen with what the Cleveland baseball team has been able to do. And, you know, Lord knows the Browns have been pounded over and over again throughout the years, and they stay loyal there. So Cleveland is a very loyal sports city, very similar to Utah, I'm sure. Donovan is going to find that out quite a bit. I mean, Utah loves their basketball. Obviously, you're talking about Mormon country and, you know, being from a Mormon family on my own right. Not being Mormon myself, but being from a Mormon family and having Mormon roots, they love their basketball. So he's going to be leaving the basketball fanatics of Utah and that Mormon side of things and going to Cleveland, where there's going to be some passionate fans that are craving another championship and to kind of rub it in that they want a championship without LeBron. And in an Eastern Conference now where they match up great, they have guys that can go and take on Jason Tatum from Boston, or that can take on a Giannis Antetokounmpo. Again, there's no one that's going to stop Giannis, but you can put Evan Mobley against Giannis and can slow him down. You put Jared Allen in there. You have the guards in the back now that can deal with the Middleton or Jrue Holiday, that can deal with a Jaylen Brown or a Malcolm Brogdon. So I really like what the Cavs were able to do with this now. And I mentioned, too, for the Cavs side of things, like how much it relieves Donovan from scoring. It relieves Garland now. Garland, you kind of saw in the playoffs at times in the play-in game and down the stretch there, it was, we got to get Garland scoring. We got to get Garland scoring. Now Garland doesn't have to be that guy either. He can rely on Donovan to do that. And you have this beast of a front court defensively. The Cavs are going to be a young, hungry, and tough team to beat on a weekly basis. And we talked about that bench too. Having Ricky Rubio, having Caris LeVert off the bench, who, that guy is going to be looking for a sixth man vote this year. He can have a Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams type of season off the bench. That is a stud to have off your bench. And if you wanted to, you could flip him for something probably as well. Having Kevin Love, that's a nice asset off the bench. And like I said, you know, they've given up those two players now in Markkanen and the Kansas rookie. There's still some free agency they can go and figure out. There's still some nice free agents, some veteran free agents now. And you're going to be able to draw in those veteran free agents now if you're the Cavs, because you look like a potential championship level contender going into the playoffs. Maybe they're a year away from getting to that, but they are going to, again, push Boston, push Milwaukee, push Philly, push Toronto going forward. So I really love this trade for Philly, for Cleveland. And they had two All-Stars next year. Maybe they have three All-Stars. For the Utah side of things, let's get into Utah. I like it for Utah as well. The one thing for Utah is, and people will say I'm crazy, I don't think they've done enough to get themselves into victor territory. I think it's like an interesting team. Like, the depth on this team is interesting. And I think as we record this, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be after them for trade assets now, because Boyan is a draft asset that a lot of people want. We know the Lakers are interested in him. Mike Conley, a veteran point guard, a lot of teams are going to be interested in him. His contract is not the great, and we're going to get into both the Cavs and the Jazz salary caps here in a second once we get going here. But Mike Conley, man, just a brilliant, great point guard. You have Colin Sexton in the back. That's a great mentor to have for him. You have Bogdan, you have Markkanen, and then Kessler. That's where it gets a little bit weak, is at the center position. But if there's any team that I know that's been able to vet great centers throughout the last few years, it's the Utah Jazz. From Ahmed Okor to doing Rudy Gobert, to doing Derek Favors, to Al Jefferson. Utah and centers, they have done a very good job of mentoring centers. And you're taking a kid in Kessler that played in North Carolina, then transferred to Auburn, was he a lottery pick? I think he was just outside the lottery pick, I believe. Yeah, 22nd pick overall. So it would be interesting to see what he goes. You just added THT. And then on the bench, you have Jared Vanderbilt, great young player. Malik Beasley, great young player. Jordan Clarkson, who just came off winning an award a few years ago. Alexander Walker, who I like. You had Taylen Horton Tucker. You have a vet in Rudy Gay. So obviously Utah, as constructed right now, they are going to be a frisky team. They're not going to be a playoff team. If this is a team that pushed themselves to a play-in, it kind of wouldn't shock me in some ways. And I know people think I'm crazy, but there is talent on this team. You know, Mike Conley, Sexton, Boyan, and Lauri Markkanen is pretty good. And then having a bench of Beasley and Vanderbilt and Rudy Gay and Jordan Clarkson, like, there's guys that are going to work hard on this team. And I think for that reason, the Jazz are like, yeah, we need to do a few more trades. I mean, if you're the Lakers, let's just say here, do you just say like, hey, screw it. We'll take Bogdan, we'll take Malik Beasley, and we'll take Rudy Gay. Let's just say. You're just adding to your depth. You're getting on to the Russell Westbrook contract, and you're just going to take on some of the depth. Because you added Bogdan, you added Malik Beasley, that's better. And I think a lot of these teams, and we're going to look again, look at the salary cap, but I think they're not just done yet because of what they've been able to add in this time. It's been pretty remarkable of all the pieces they've been able to add just from Gobert and from Donovan Mitchell. It's a really good job so far by Danny Ainge. He's done a remarkable job being able to take over everything. And it was a team that was the number one seed just a while ago. So it's pretty crazy. But so the Jazz, they turned Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell into Colin Sexton, Malik Beasley, the Kansas rookie, Welker, Jared Vanderbilt, Lauri Markkanen, THT, Stanley Johnson too, who's no slouch. 7 first-round picks and 3 first-round pick swaps. That is a phenomenal job by Danny Ainge, what he's been able to do so far. And I don't think they're done because, obviously, like I said, Jordan Clarkson, people are going to want him. Bogdan, people are going to want him. People are going to probably want Rudy Gobert if they don't waive Rudy Gobert. Neil Alexander Walker, teams are going to want him. Stanley Johnson, they could, worst case scenario, get a second-round pick for Stanley Johnson because decent defender. And down the stretch, he could even be someone that gets waived maybe down the stretch because this is the team that's going to go in and try to get Victor Wembanyama. They are definitely going to try to be that team. But you got to give it to what he's been able to do. Like Malik Beasley, too, is just a great talent. Fantasy basketball-wise, if you have Malik Beasley, he's going to be a 20-point-per-game scorer right now. But I would suspect that some of these guys aren't going to be on this team as we get closer to the season. I don't think the Jazz are done yet. And like I said, I think the Lakers seem like an obvious spot for them to go to. Mike Conley, that would be an interesting piece for the Lakers to go under. So this year, Mike Conley will make $22 million, and then the next year will be $24 million. So they obviously wouldn't waive him and bite that contract, I don't think, because they'll maybe look into the free agency the next year and see where they go there. So that one's going to be a tough pill to – they have to keep that around for 1 year, kind of going forward with that. Jordan Clarkson, he's $13 million this year, and then he has a player option for $14 million. I would assume that Clarkson will keep that up, but it's a decent contract for a guy that was a former sixth man of the year. Rudy Gay, $6 million this year and then a $6 million player option. So that changes, like I was talking about, potentially waiving Rudy Gay. So teams will maybe look into Rudy Gay. Alexander Walker, that's a really nice piece that I think a lot of teams in the league are going to be looking at. $5 million team option next year. So that's a nice deal that you're going to be able to look at going forward. And they've obviously picked up the team option, so he will go in as a free agent. Jared Vanderbilt, $4 million this year, $4 million next year for Jared Vanderbilt. Teams are going to be calling Danny Ainge. And mark my words, just with what Jared Vanderbilt does, he's a nice NBA player. At the end of last year, he's almost 7 points a game. And 8 rebounds. Like, he's a really nice defensive player, a really good overall player. $4 million, back-to-back years. 23 years old. He'll be 25 by the time he's a free agent. You could talk some team, obviously a contender team, but let's look at the Bucks, for example, right? Where they tried to bring a Serge Ibaka in last year. Go and look at a Jared Vanderbilt for $4 million for 2 more years. That's a good deal to have there. So, and then Stanley Johnson, like I said, $2 million for Stanley Johnson, 26 years old. People are going to look at that. Boyan, he is $19 million. So that's the big piece there that a lot of teams will be looking to try to add Boyan. He's a great shooter. And, you know, this league relies on a lot of shooters in this league. And they will want to be shot 38%. Last year, 2 years ago, though, he came off years in Indiana where he shot 40%. And if you're the Lakers again, and LeBron is so good at getting those players open, that's a guy that you have to look at. If you're not going to be able to get this Buddy and Miles Turner deal done, that's a player that they may have to take their attention to and maybe looking at Malik Beasley and that. And that's just if the Jazz want to take those two picks, and the Lakers just want to add some depth to their team. But Boyan will definitely be a guy that a lot of people want to add. The Conley deal is going to be very hard to move on from. I don't know exactly who's going to take on that salary. It could be something like the Knicks. Just, I mean, I guess I get Jalen Bronson, but if they just said, like, hey, can you just take the Randle contract? And that's kind of what you're going to maybe look at now for Utah, is they'll become kind of what we see the Island of Misfit Toys for some of these players, right? Where teams are just going to dump salary onto them and see what happens. For the Cavs payroll, so the big thing for the Cavs, too, is $28 million of Kevin Love, it's done this year. So either they get to the midway point of this season, they don't think Kevin Love is effective for them, they can just wave it and say goodbye to him. But worst case scenario, that's $28 million coming off the books, and then they go into the Darius Garland contract from there. They get off the Lauri Markkanen contract, though. That was huge. It was $16 million this year, and then $17 million, and then $18 million, and that's all guaranteed. So the Jazz now, getting $17 million, $18 million. They could maybe trade Markkanen at the deadline if they wanted to, but you're going to have to see if we can get the Markkanen that we thought he could be a little bit more and see if that play rises a little bit more. They got Ricky on a nice deal, $5 million for Ricky that goes to $6 and 24, 25 and kind of stays there for the year before that. So that's not bad. Evan Mobley right now, they will ride this. Team options for him, $8 million this year, and then a team option for $8 and then a team option for $11. Same with Isaac Okoro, team option for $7 and then a team option for $8. So they'll be able to ride that. So all said, right now, you can do a decent job of maybe even bringing in another free agent, potentially. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, he was signed longer than I thought he was. So he's $30 million this year, and then $32, then $34, and then a player option for $37, $25, $26. So you have your backcourt is locked up. So that's great. So you have Garland and you have Mitchell. They're both locked up for pretty much the same time. I think it looks like Mitchell's like a year later. And Garland's contract goes up to $43 million. But by 27, 28, when the TV rights come in, I don't even think that deal is going to really – it's going to be fine at that point, because we're going to see a big jump from the TV rights. But, yeah, losing that $28 million, we'll see where their cap is. But they – have a little bit of cap room to mess around next year when they lose that $28 million from Kevin Love. I guess you could also look at it the way of maybe not necessarily, just because the Kevin Love $28 million goes off the books. They have Garland for $8 million this year, and then it changes. So we'll see where the Cavs go. Yeah, you know what? I'm wrong, because they'll go for the $33 million this year, next year for Garland, and then they'll take $22-20 for Jared Allen, and then they take on the $32 million for Donovan Mitchell next year. So tough cap there, but you're set now, right? You have Jared Allen locked in, you have Garland locked in, and you have Donovan Mitchell locked in. So you have your core locked in, and you have Mobley and Isaac Okoro on decent deals. And I believe, again, they have their picks for 2023, and they have that pick for 2024. Will they use Bronny James as sharp bait and try to bring LeBron James in and really try to get one more title to Cleveland and kind of start maybe a mini dynasty there? Who knows? But a tremendous job by Cleveland. Danny Ainge raging there. Good job by him. And so what does this mean now for the rest of the NBA? I think both teams did a good job. For the Jazz, I think they could have done better, though, with the Knicks were offering them, even if it was Quentin Grimes and some other stuff. And it's interesting, the Knicks just weren't willing to do three. And it's weird, because you look at this past draft, and the Knicks were building up draft assets. So I don't know why they didn't pull the trigger overall. Personally, I don't think that Donovan Mitchell is worth that, so I applaud the Knicks on that side. I think Donovan Mitchell is a really good player, but I don't think he's worth what that was. I wouldn't have traded him for RJ Barrett either. And if the rumor was true that there was a trade, I'm going to pull it up right here before we get out of here, of what was it here? It was the Knicks' offer to the Jazz this July was RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, Mitchell Robinson, and three first picks, and the Jazz declined that. I don't know what Danny Ainge is doing there, because that is a far better trade. You're getting a guy that can be an all-star in RJ Barrett. a guy in Obi Toppin who hasn't had a chance to really crack a lineup because he's been behind Jules in New York. And then you're getting a defensive prowess guy in Mitchell Robinson plus three picks. So when I see that, I'm just wondering, is did Danny see that? And it was like, well, if we do that, we're a play-in team to an eight seed level team with that type of talent. Is that what he's thinking? Is he trying that desperately to try to get to Victor and see where he can go with everything? That's the interesting thing. And we'll see in the next few days, like, what are they going to do with Colin Sexton? Are they going to extend him to a long-term deal, or are they going to put him onto the one-year deal, let him go unrestricted next year? That's the next shoe to drop here of what's going to happen with Colin Sexton. Or are they done? Like, could they move Colin Sexton? Do they have an interest in Colin Sexton? Was it more important for them to get the picks than it was to getting Colin Sexton? The other thing of all this, too, is if you want to draft picks and you look at that next trade, for example, right? You're going to get RJ Barrett, you're going to get Obi Toppin, you're going to get Mitchell Robinson. So the Knicks are left with what? Jalen Brunson, Mitchell Robinson, and Julius Randle, and then some other building? Like, yes, 1,000 times yes, because then you can have the Knicks draft picks. And you know the history and downfall of the New York Knicks. I don't understand this. With the Cavs, you've seen now that Kobe Altman has ran a pretty tight ship and has done a really good job of drafting, developing, and trading. And you're going to take the risk of entering into those picks if you're Danny Ainge than the New York Knicks picks. And Danny's been around for a while, so that's interesting, because I don't know that New York team, if Bronson and Donovan Mitchell, it's okay, I guess, compared to you didn't take a big blue chipper from this casting that really hurt them. You took a guy like Colin Sexton and you replaced that position. That position got improved with Donovan Mitchell there. So I don't really get it from that side for the Jazz. On the long term, when you're looking at the draft pick, some of the assets they brought back, if you do sign up Colin Sexton long term, I do like Lauri Markkanen more than most, and the Kansas rookie, I think he has potential. He can be a nice two guard in this league. So I do like some of the pieces they brought back, but compared to what the Knicks were going to bring back, and then you're just going to have to rely on those Knicks picks, I think you have a better future if you're Utah with what those Knicks picks can be compared to what the Cavs picks can be. Specifically, you don't give them that 2024 pick now. And so if you're the Cavs now and you're sitting back there, you know LeBron will be a free agent that year, 41, I believe, and let's be honest, most draft experts don't believe that Bronny James is a first-round pick. But if you're the Cavs this time, now you're just working with house money. You know, you're just like, hey, we got Donovan locked up. We got Garland locked up. We got Jarrett locked up. Isaac and Evan, we'll get them figured out. We could just draft Bronny James. We'll bring LeBron back in here. We're good. So that's... Because if I'm expecting by that time with the Cavs, they'll be in that bottom 20, and that's maybe where you're expecting a Bronny James to go, unless he just goes bonkers in college. And the name Bronny James carries weight, and also the weight of potentially adding LeBron at that point, which is still crazy. We're going to be talking about a 41-year-old LeBron, 40 or 41-year-old LeBron at that point. That's insane. So I think that's a nice little piece that Kobe Altman was able to hold on to there. Overall, it's... a nice trade in the middle of September here. And I guess the last big trade chip now is what the Lakers do with Russell Westbrook. You've heard positive side from the Lakers that, you know, maybe they want to see what goes into the season. But, you know, the Jazz, they have some pieces that are floating out there right now. If you're a Laker team with Boyan and Jordan Clarkson and Malik Beasley, you got to wonder to yourself, if you're the Lakers... And you look at the window you have right now. We just talked about what the Cavs have done and potentially using that pick now to bring in a Bronny James. If you're that Lakers squad, do you have consideration now that, you know what, screw it. Screw 27, screw 29. It's about right now. We have Anthony Davis. We have LeBron James. We need to do whatever we can to win now. So that'll be the interesting thing. Do they add the depth, or do they have enough trust that Westbrook can lead them to the next level? I don't know. But it's getting really interesting right now in the NBA. And look, I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to go over that really quickly here. We have a few veteran free agents that are still available. And for the Cavs team now, they have two roster spots. That's something that maybe consider looking into for them. Especially, like I said, now you're going to be a team that you can draw in players, right? That you can go with. So, Carmelo Anthony, is that one? Is that the Knicks' big move now too, I wonder, right? Is that the Knicks' big move? So, yeah, you have LaMarcus Aldridge is still available. Carmelo Anthony is still available. What else do we got here? Miles Bridges, that's a mess. Short Charlotte, man. They're free agents, eh? Between Trez and with Miles, just wow. Michael Carter-Williams, he's still available out there. Chris Chizoa, who out of Florida, who I like. He's been in the NBA for 4 years. I'm surprised he hasn't really found a team. Boogie, he hasn't found a team yet. So, you know, you have a few players that are out there that still haven't signed him. And I mentioned Blake Griffin as well. Like, Blake's someone that he was so good with the Cavs that 1 year, and then he kind of, I don't know what happened, fell out. Obviously, McCreef Morris, he went to Brooklyn. So they're building a nice little set of depth out there in Brooklyn right now. So we'll see. We will see where everybody lands. And, yeah, it's going to be an interesting rest of the way, folks. It's going to be an interesting rest of the way. And if anything obviously happens, we will be here on Fresh Take to break it all down for you. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the game.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.